The Oldie Recordings presents Humphrey Burton on Menuhin, A Life. Brought to you by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm shamed by my colleague here who brought notes. I'm afraid I haven't got a script. I'm going to tell you, though, that Yehudi Menuhin is the absolute converse of David Cornwell, in the sense that he lived his life out in the open from the beginning, transparently, bravely in many cases, and to the greater joy for many people, because for many people, Yehudi Menuhin is above the fray. He was Mr. Music, I think, for a lot of people. Many of you will remember hearing him playing. It might have been Stefan Grappelli with jazz duets on telly, or it might have been with Ravi Shankar doing Indian ragas, or it might have been playing Bach in St. Paul's Cathedral, or duets with Oistrakh at the Albert Hall. He played in so many people's lives. He is music. In mine, I can remember hearing him when I was a boy of 14 playing the Bartok Concerto. Lonely I was in my music room. Nobody else wanted to hear Bartok's new concerto. But there he was, and he'd flown that morning from Paris, and the plane had broken down in a field in Kent. He'd hitchhiked from there to Bedford, where the concert was being broadcast. He was determined that the show must go on, and go on it did. I got to know Menuhin myself in the late 50s when I was working for the BBC Monitor programme, and he just decided to come to live in London. I wasn't in any sense a professional biographer, and in his lifetime I was a broadcaster, and it was for his 80th birthday that I persuaded Classic FM to let us do a series about Yehudi, in which he came into the studio and talked about his life and his past and his plans and his love and his loves. And this is now going out again now, this very season, because in April, the 22nd to be precise, will be the centenary of the birth of Yehudi Menuhin. So if you're in at home at Saturday nights at 9 o'clock, please listen to Classic FM. You can even listen for the following week on one of their iPlayer-type programs as well. So that's the end of the commercial. Now, Yehudi Menuhin was American. Many of them don't realize that. He was born in New York, and in fact, his name is Yehudi because of an incident while his parents, who were immigrants from Russia, were looking for somewhere to live. They were both Jewish. They'd both grown up in Palestine, and they were looking, and she was pregnant already, and they saw a lovely place in the Bronx, and the lady said, yes, it's very nice. It's good transport, near the shops, very, very pleasant people, and what's more, there are no Jews here. And so she called her fourth son when he came out Yehudi, which means the Jew. And that was the beginning. They moved to San Francisco. He was only 5 when his musical talents were revealed. And it was an astonishing story of progress. He, from not particularly strong musical backgrounds, it wasn't that either his father or mother were professional musicians, he revealed a fantastic talent, which by the age of 7 had him playing the Mendelssohn Concerto, giving public concerts by the age of 9 in New York and San Francisco, of course, and culminated when he was only 12 in a fantastic marathon concert given in Berlin, 1929, just a few months before the crash, in fact, 1929, when he played first the Bach, one of the Bach concertos, then the Beethoven, after the interval, the Brahms. And can you imagine, for the encore, he played the last two movements of the Mendelssohn. He was a boy of 12. And the conductor was Bruno Walter, the orchestra Bruno, the Berlin Philharmonic. And Walter said afterwards, he was a boy, but he was also a man and a very great artist. And this was the phenomenon, which I write about to quite some extent in my book, the extraordinary phenomenon that this boy played like an angel. He had a soul which people give their lives to try to perfect, and it came to him naturally, instinctively. He had wonderful teachers, including the Romanian George Enescu, and he had wonderful friendships, one with Toscanini and another with Sir Edward Elgar. There's a wonderful photograph in my book of the 16-year-old Yehudi playing at the Abbey Road Studios in London, playing the Elgar Concerto. Yehudi's lost his puppy fat. He used to love ice cream and eat a great deal of it, but by the time he was 16, he was looking after himself better. He's in white flannels, looking absolutely the matinee idol, and the old Sir Edward is 75 and conducting as if his life depended upon it. He loved this piece, Yehudi. He didn't know it at all. He never heard of Elgar when he was asked to record it. He learnt it with Enescu, his teacher, coaching him, and he played the record of his life. Many people think that Elgar violin concerto recorded in 1932 is the greatest recording of the 20th century. Menuhin was so instinctively understanding of so many different styles of music. That was one of his secrets. There was a rehearsal in a hotel room just around the corner from the Queen's Hall when the Menuhin's family arrived. And Yehudi, a bit nervous to play for the maestro, so he sat down and Elgar on the bed and waited for Yehudi to start. Yehudi started playing, and they hadn't got to the second subject before Elgar stood up and said, "Well, that's wonderful, my boy. I'm very impressed. I'm sure it's going to be very good. It looks a lovely day outside. I'm off to the races." And that they didn't meet again till the day of the recording. But the recording, as I say, and Elgar was so enamored of his playing that he took the score, which is dedicated to Fritz Kreisler, and in his handwriting, Yehudi showed me this in his book, in his studio, he showed me this writing to Fritz Kreisler and Yehudi Menuhin. And underneath it, he'd written the score, the music, the second subject, tam tam ta pa pa pam. La da dee dee da da. Sorry, I'll get it better that way. And then he'd written word underneath, Yehudi Menuhin, to show that it had always been meant for Yehudi. It was a rather good story. Yehudi, his life led him from California, where he grew up with his sisters, two sisters. And the extraordinary thing, which is an entertaining chapter in my book, is that they were all rather dominated by a mother, Marutha, who was a beautiful woman and had her very own ideas. Yehudi never went to school, for example. He went for one morning and came back at lunchtime and said, "There's nothing to do." So they obviously didn't want... the only thing I did in school was to look in the window and see a bird flying. And that was interesting. And he did say on another occasion a marvelous thing about his gift as a musician. He said, "You know, it's my destiny to play. A bird wouldn't dream of not singing any day of the year. And I, as a musician, wouldn't dream of playing." He went on playing up until his physical circumstances became a little bit difficult. He couldn't hold the bow quite as firmly on the string as he used to be able to. His left hand wrist was a little bit stiff. But then he started... conducting, and in fact, for the second half of his life, he conducted more than he played the fiddle, and he became equally musicians loved working with Menuhin because he had so many good instincts about different pieces of music, and he was, on the one hand, a great traditionalist. He played Bach absolutely exceptionally, and on the other hand, he commissioned new people to write for him. He commissioned Béla Bartók. He commissioned, for example, the greatest composer of the 20th century. So he had astonishing affinity for so many different styles of music, all of which I write about. I don't write, it's not a book for musicians, although it does have some references to music. It's really an interesting life, because in the last few, how many more minutes have I got? Once he'd emerged from his childhood, he and his sisters all got married within 3 months of each other. Hepzibah was only 17, Yalta was only 16. They wanted to get away from home as quickly as possible. And all three of them married Gentiles. They were all three Jewish, but the Jewish lifestyle that the Menuhins practiced was not even reform. It was completely liberal. And Yehudi had a strong love of England from the word go, because he loved doing the Manchester Guardian crossword puzzles and reading the Manchester Guardian leading articles. His father was a free-thinking. His father was very, very hostile to the idea of the of the Jewish Republic. His father wanted Jews and Arabs to live side by side. Is that my gong telling me it's time to go? No, it's another. It's MI5 again. And Yehudi, once his first marriage really was brought to an end by the war, but also by the fact that he married a red-headed, jazz-loving, fast-car-driving, tennis-playing girl who was very beautiful, and he was swept off his feet. In my book, that's a very entertaining account of how he proposed to her while he was on tour in Amsterdam. He was under the sheets so his parents wouldn't hear, as he actually rang up and proposed to this girl. And they got married in Caxton Hall, and it was a spectacular wedding, and his mother tried to run the new wife, and she wasn't having any of it. That marriage ended. His second marriage was to a dancer called Diana Gould, and her dedication is on the photograph, which is on the cover of my book. It says to Diana, just after they'd met during the war, because during the war, Menuhin came to England many times to play for the troops. He also played for the American troops in the Aleutians and Hawaii. He devoted his life to using music as a way of bringing solace to people, just as they were going off to fight in Hawaii or in Guam or in the Pacific War. After the war, within months of coming of the war ending, he was in Belsen playing to the survivors of the Holocaust, and his pianist was Benjamin Britten. And he, for the rest of his life, he was making political statements wherever he could go. He attacked apartheid in South Africa. He attacked the Russian oppression of dissidents in Moscow. He attacked the Israeli oppression of Palestinians in Jerusalem and around there. He's actually lectured the House of Parliament, the Knesset, in there. He was a quirky man. He was crank, you might say. He advocated eating well. Green things were very important to him. He's helped to found a food reform cranky diet in a shop. A food reform shop for nature food. And he supported having electric cars. He had one. He lived in Highgate, and the hill up to Highgate is quite steep. The people in the back seat had to get out and push the car up the hill. But he was determined to have an electric car. He fought for drinking troughs for dray horses, those lovely troughs. He was a fighter for good causes, but a good man, a warm-hearted man, a wonderful musician. His greatest achievement, perhaps, was the creation of the school which bears his name, which trains young musicians from all over the world. He created a school, ironically, because he had never been himself to a school at all. His second marriage produced two more children. His personal life, perhaps a little more dysfunctional than his musical life, but he was, as I say in my classic FM series, Yehudi Menuhin, the master musician. He was a master musician, and he was a wonderful human being, which I think you would enjoy reading about in my book. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for the Oldie 2015.